views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. And I want to talk, today we're going to again have some Women of Wisdom presenters sharing their stories and what they're experts at. And I want to invite people to join our WOW conference this year in Seattle. It's February 11th through the 15th. It's a very unique, intimate, experiential, and life-changing gathering. It's not your usual conference. You're not sitting in a room with hundreds of people listening to an expert. It's a place to find support for your dreams, share your story, and be with other women on a journey of transformation. And we've got early bird specials. You can register for a weekend package at a really low price this year. We've never done this. It's available through December 7th. And you can find that out at the conference website, www.thewowconference.org. And another great special we have is you can register for three-hour workshops, and you're going to receive one for free. So you can get three workshops for the price of two when you register by December 31st. There's other specials and lots of offerings that we want you to just explore and go visit our website, thewowconference.org. Okay, well, we're going to talk about how you can deal with chaos today. I have Donna Stellhorn. She is a professional astrologer and feng shui expert with more than 20 years' experience. Author of 13 books on everything from fertility, feng shui, to space clearing, to her annual Chinese astrology series, which is now the third best-selling Chinese astrology series in the world. And you can read more about her on her website is donnastellhorn.com and fengshuiform.com. She's given her workshop, Realigning Your Environment in Times of Chaos, is Sunday, February 14th in Seattle at the WOW Conference. So welcome, Donna.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, and we're excited to have you again come back to Woman of Wisdom. I know you're in California, so we appreciate you coming up to Seattle and sharing your wisdom, and this year on chaos, you know, and we all live with, in some form or another, we all kind of have some chaos. It seems like it's the sign of the times now, but, and, you know, we all want to have a peaceful place to live where we can re-energize, be comfortable, have home be like a sanctuary, but what gets in the way of that?
Well, it is true that there's so much chaos going out in our lives that it's even more important these days to have a true peaceful sanctuary at home. But oftentimes with the stress that happens out in the world, we tend to come home. And have you ever done this where you open the door, you look inside, you step in there and you go, ah, I'm home. Well, what you've just done with that, you've released all of that energy into the house, and that builds up so that after a while, even when you have a good day and you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to make dinner from scratch, I'm going to write my novel, all of these things, you come home and you hit that wall of that energy of releasing it over and over, and all you end up doing is binge watching Real Housewives. You know, you can't do anything anymore. The house now holds all of that stressful energy.
Oh, it holds it. So we bring it into the house.
Yes, it can be brought into the house by us. It can be that there's interactions in the house that are creating it, but also things in the neighborhood can also impact the house, not to mention when we bring new items in, those items could, they can have chemicals or they could be, have been created in a very stressful environment. Or sometimes people like antiques and they'll bring an antique in that has, you know, hundreds of years of history of maybe some positive, but possibly some negative situations. And now that's in the house.
Yeah, it's interesting. It just reminds me, I had a stone once. I think it was a dinosaur stone. Maybe it was their dung or something. I can't remember. It was in our bedroom, and I realized I needed to get that out of the house. I could feel the energy of it.
Yes. I had an experience when I was living in New Mexico where a woman told me, she kept coming into my store and saying, oh, in my relationship, it just feels like it's dead. So I went over to the house, and there's a giant cow skull over the bed that she had hung. And it's a very common piece of artwork in New Mexico. But over the bed, it's a heavy object. It's very sharp, and it's very dead. So in removing that, we lightened up the energy right away.
Well, another thing that we deal with, is the clutter and how that impacts us.
Yes. The clutter can be a real problem. And the truth is, it's so much easier to acquire objects these days, and it's so much more fun than it is to let go of objects. But I do see that more and more people are embracing ideas of living with less. And it's amazing how abundant you can feel when you actually live with less. So reducing your wardrobe, reducing objects, but mostly reducing paper. People can feel so much lighter and happier when they reduce paper.
Oh, yeah, I know. And we deal with a lot of paper in our household. I mean, it's just, you know, because of my work. And so my kitchen table where I work, it's full of clutter of paper. And how I get rid of it? I have a dinner party. I have to clear it off the table, but then I have the problem of not finding what I need. I mean, you know, I'll have to sort through stuff and, or, you know, just the time it takes to go through paper. And I know the one thing is, like with the junk mails, you get rid of it right away. You know, look at the paper, file it, throw it, yes, and recycle right away, because it just stacks up.
Yes. And I'm not suggesting that we have to live in these model homes where there's nothing happening, where everything, where dust doesn't even land. But in feng shui, we're always working with the five elements. And so one of those elements, which actually rules paper, is wood. And wood is all about growing. And you know, so if we think of accumulating paper, we're actually growing our business. Or we might be accumulating books, so we're growing our knowledge. Now, metal is about organization and keeping things where they're supposed to be. And in the five-element system, metal chops wood. So the idea is that the organization cuts down the amount of paper and organizes it. So these two elements are always in conflict, organization versus growth. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about clutter. Does it impact us, you know, like in our physical stress? Because stress is, you know, is actually a physical response. So how does that impact us on our physicality?
Well, one of the things that does happen is when the universe is trying to give us messages, which they always are, it's a very, very loving universe, always guiding us to where we really need to be. And so they're going to send us first messages outside of our body. And then what happens is if we don't get the message, then we start to internalize things. So first, if you are feeling healthy, look around and say, all right, where is a lot of clutter? If there's a lot of clutter, say, on the floor, and then you start to manifest some foot problems, all right, now the universe is saying, look, you keep tripping yourself up. You are not walking your path. You're not on this truthful way. And you first saw it with the clutter on the floor, and now you're having foot problems. So it's like the universe saying, no, really, pay attention.
Oh yeah, it is. Everything is a metaphor. I was like, yeah, look around you. And I know, I mean, I was going to declutter and do a lot of things this summer and have a big yard sale and this, and then, life happens. It didn't get done. And it's kind of like, oh, won't be able to do it till next summer. And I'm dealing with this, stuff that needs to get organized.
Yes, and this is the great thing about what we're going to be talking about at the conference is you don't have to do it all. There's certain areas that a person can work on to make a substantial change in the amount of peace and joy they have in the home. So, as I said, you don't have to have a perfect home, but there are certain areas of the home that could be creating actual physical stress in your body, and those are the ones we want to address.
So what do you suggest? What areas are those that are the most important?
Well, one thing for people who are sensitive in the area of lungs, where they may have allergies or perhaps a history of smoking, the scent of the house, the actual air in the house is quite important. And so some of the commercial air fresheners may have a lot of chemicals, and you would do better with essential oils, or perhaps it's just necessary to open the windows and let the fresh air in. That is, if you're in a place where there is good clean air.
But I got the feeling you were talking about certain places, certain rooms in the house are more important.
Correct. Yes. Certain rooms are very important. I've noticed that sometimes people say they have a great deal of trouble sleeping. Well, the position of the bed and the decor in the room can affect how a person is sleeping. Of course, one of the big things is if there's a lot of electronics in the bedroom, the actual EMF waves can disrupt sleep. And so that would be one of the first things I'd recommend removing.
Okay, yeah, so there's a lot of yeah, I think the bedroom too with sleep is a big issue. And that's a place, to have a real peaceful environment for where you're sleeping. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break now. We're going to come back and talk more with Donna Stellhorn. Stay tuned.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Donna Stellhorn. We're talking about creating a peaceful environment in your home, getting out of the chaos. And so, Donna, can you give your website information and anything that you might have to share with our audience?
Oh, sure. My website is fengshuiform.com. That's fengshuiform.com.
And do you have a newsletter or anything there that people would be helpful for people to sign up for?
If they sign up for the newsletter, they're going to get an illustrated guide to feng shui for the bedroom. And I think it's about 36 pages from one of my books that I illustrated and annotated, and it's really cool. So, and they can sign up for that. And if they don't want the newsletter, then they can do a quick unsubscribe and declutter their inbox. So I'm good either way.
Oh, yeah, that's another needed thing to do. Those inboxes are amazing. Okay, so we've been talking about a lot of things. And one of the things I know that you work with is, you know, and people have in our homes, active children who are good at making messes, good at having lots of toys, and, you know, how do you organize and keep a peaceful home environment with children?
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, a man came to me and he said, you know, I keep organizing the kids' area. I've got everything labeled so they can put it away and all of that. And he said, but my highly creative daughter, you know, she's in 10 minutes, the whole thing's destroyed. Well, again, going back to those five elements, we already talked about metal being organization. Well, fire is creativity. And fire melts metal. So the instant the creativity starts, the organization melts away. And so instead of him being so frustrated all the time, trying to keep this as totally metal all the time, he said, oh, okay, because once metal is melted, then we can form it into something useful. So then he could sit with his daughter and say, all right, what makes more sense to you? And she said, you know, you've labeled all these things, but I want to sort them by color. Well, that makes more sense to her and her creative mind. You know, so it's a truck and a dolly. They're both red. She wants them in the red box.
Yeah, bring the kids in to help organize how they – that would be very, you know, creative and a good exercise for them to organize how they would like to have it.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same with creative adults, too. You know, it's more important that you lay out your house in a way that feels comfortable to you, not necessarily the way that is dictated even by the structure of the house. I mean, I'm talking to you right now in my very large home office, which actually should be called a master bedroom. So, but it overlooks this beautiful park. It has the most light. It's perfect for me for a home office. I don't need a large bedroom, so I'm in the second bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up color, you know, that organizing by colors, and color is very important. So how would we work with color to bring, you know, say we want wellness or peacefulness or even financial flow, because that's some of the, you know, things that you deal with in feng shui, too. So how do we use color for those kinds of aspects?
You know, color is, it is this energy that strikes us that we actually have a physical reaction to, and that whether we're colorblind or not, the wavelengths, the energy that actually hits our body is different for different colors, and so it does affect us. I have several people who say, oh, they want a purple bedroom, but they suffer from health issues. Now, purple is a wonderful spiritual color. We see it, and it pulls us up and out of the mundane, but it also pulls us out of our body. So when we want to become well, what we need is we need the earth tones and the greens and those different colors that remind us of things that are growing, of healthy plants, of a lush landscape. And when we decorate in those colors, then our body goes, yes, I have the material that I need, the energy that I need to actually work a healing.
Yeah, it reminds me, many, many years ago, we were sitting in a restaurant and it was a dark, not quite, not an emerald green, kind of a spruce green. And I was sitting there going, I really like this green. I like the feeling of being in it. We went, came home, we painted our bedroom that color, and it still is. It's been probably 20 years, but this color. You know, it's got white.
Fantastic.
It's got white trim, and it's got a little lighter green, but it's a very dark, rich green. And, you know, sometimes I keep wondering about, do I need to change it? But it's a comforting color to be in for me for sleeping.
It is. And, you know, and I do know there's some people out there who said, I don't have health problems and I love purple. And I said, well, go ahead. You can paint purple, but I'll tell you, you will do some traveling at night. Your spirit will do some astral traveling. You'll be off everywhere. And that's okay if you're healthy. But when you need to work on the body, then we need grounding colors.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to financial flow, because that's something we all, you know, get concerned about. And especially in our economy, and some people may want to know information about, okay, how can I grow my finances to have the money that we need to sustain and all that. So what colors do you work with there?
You know, with the colors, what we're looking for is actually just single points of color. We're not going to do an entire room, because when you start to paint an entire room colors for finances, all you do then is do finances. You don't do anything else. And if you're doing a healing, that's fine. But unless you want to be really focused and working all the time, you just want little points of color. And one of those, of course, is metallic gold. Just that little sparkle, that little bit of shine that says, oh, look, yeah, that's just out of the corner of your eye. That's something shiny. It gets our attention, and it reminds us, oh, yes, I want my spirit to be also calling money. Now, other things that you can do about creating a sense of financial peace in your place, and I know this is going to sound very counterintuitive, but it is to have less stuff. So I'll tell you, I do a capsule wardrobe. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but a capsule wardrobe is when you have a very few pieces in your wardrobe. And I will tell you that since I started doing this a couple of years ago, I feel like I have so many clothes to wear, even though if you looked in my closet, my whole wardrobe takes up about a quarter of my closet. And it's because I wear every piece, and every piece is interchangeable, and I love every piece. And so with our homes, we are so inundated with stuff, we don't feel abundant. We don't feel like we have prosperity. But if you reduce the amount of things you have, not only will you have more money because you're not shopping, but you will feel so abundant.
Oh, yeah, it does feel counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It does.
And yet, if our eyes are so, like, there's so much, I'm sitting in this room and there's so many books and in my TV room and so much stuff that it's almost an overwhelming sense. Like,
yes.
You know, for me to focus on all this stuff, I don't necessarily appreciate it all.
Yes. And it's more than our brains can categorize or, you know, when our eyes go over it, it's trying to group things and it's trying to put things in different spots. Well, you might be looking at your space going, oh, and I have to do that and I have to do that and I have to. And then after the, you know, 16th or 17th, I have to do, you just want to lie down. You know, you can't do anymore.
Yeah, you're not doing. Yeah, and I know one way to tackle that is just to focus on, okay, I'll do one thing today. Just take 10 minutes and take this little, you know, this shelf and tackle it that way versus trying to see it all and going, oh, my God, there's no way I can do any of this.
Yes, and I really recommend for spiritual people, go around your house. There's lots of areas that other people might say are cluttered. They're actually perfectly fine. But you running your hands over things, just walking through slowly, there are areas in your house that you go, I actually feel some discord here. I feel, you know, maybe you have a lovely chair, but you never sit in it. That's, there is a something there, whether it's energetically off or whether the decor, whether something in feng shui, we have things like poison arrows where corners of furniture or rooms can point at something and it makes it feel, out of balance. It makes it feel unwelcoming. So you don't have to do everything in your house, but find those discordant areas. Put that into harmony and you'll shift everything.
Yeah, one time I shifted all my closets upstairs. I decided, okay, I want my clothes here, my husband's clothes here, and every closet shifted. And it's a wonderful feeling. It's kind of like, wow, it, you know, it feels new, and it clears some things to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to, before we close, I want to have you spend a couple minutes sharing. One of the things you can do in the workshop is about the dance of the five elements. And so tell us about that.
I'm very excited about this. So I worked with my Qigong teacher. In Qigong, there is a five-element meditation. And so I said, well, can I use this? And I had to put it in a different order for feng shui. But what we're going to be doing is we're actually going to be doing physical representations of the five elements. And when everybody gets home, they'll be able to do what they need in the different rooms and different spaces of their house so that they can balance the energy. It's going to be quite exciting.
So each element has a particular dance?
Yes, yes, and one flows into another. And it's very, very simple. For those people who don't feel like they're good dancers, I don't. I have two left feet, literally. And so it's very simple, but we get into a place where we embody that element. And from that energy, we can balance areas of the house.
Sounds fascinating. I encourage people to sign up for this workshop, Realigning Your Environment in Times of Chaos. It's going to be Sunday, February 14th. One last thing. What is an herb you could use to clear a home's energy?
Oh, and this is a great time to ask me that, because sage is a wonderful herb for that. And that's the sage that you're going to be putting on your Thanksgiving turkey in a couple of days. You can just take some ground sage, put it in a little bit of aluminum foil, so a little, like a little cup of aluminum foil, light it with a match. It's going to get hot on the bottom, so put it on a plate. Carry that around the house, and it clears the energy. We'll talk about that more in detail when we have the workshop.
Well, great. That's a great timing with Thanksgiving. People are going to have sage, so just go around and burn sage around your house. So we're not even talking about the Native American sage. We're talking about the spice sage.
We are talking about the spice sage. They are one and the same.
That's true. Okay. Here you go. I always think of these sticks of sage, the long sticks that you would go around and burn. Okay, well, we have to close now with our time with Donna Stellhorn. Be sure to check out her workshop at the conference on Sunday, February 14th. And we're going to come back and talk to another presenter, Terry Jo Wheeler.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woo-hoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I have now with me Terry Jo Wheeler. She is the Executive Director of Global Teen Experience. Terry Jo is committed to cultivating greater awareness, authentic expression, and positive change in the world. She's been a K-8 school teacher, counselor, mentor, specializing in emotional health, social skills, and awareness education for the past 15 years. Currently, she is a soul-centered life coach and leads inspiring groups, retreats, and personal growth seminars. Her life is devoted to youth, truth, and bringing the eternal sunshine out from within. Now, Terry Jo is leading our workshop for teens at the WOW Conference. I'm very excited. It's going to be February 14th, all day Saturday. It's called The Art and Practice of Radical Self-Loving. And we're going to be working on letting these teens know how beautiful and magnificent and honest and open and loving they are and how they can, you know, bring that into their lives. So welcome, Terry Jo.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So first, I want to hear your story, you know, how you came to create that Global Teen Experience organization and why. What led you to do that?
Well, it's an interesting experience because it's of course based on my own journey, as much of this heart-centered work is. I was in a master's program in spiritual psychology about 20 years ago, and instead of a thesis in that program, we spent a year long working on creating something that would make a difference in our lives and in the world, and I was stuck. And the teacher in that course saw that about halfway through the course and basically redirected me, asking me to get in touch with dreams I had as a teenager. And because she said, often we give up our true self and our visions as a teen and go into the world thinking we need to be something else. And that really struck me. So I went to my old high school. I got permission to go and sit and observe students. And in that, I remembered how lost I felt as a teen, and that inspired me to want to do a program for teens to help them. And that was 20 years ago, and I've done several things since then, and the Global Teen Experience formed a couple years ago here in Seattle when I moved here, and it's just been a wonderful, growing endeavor to be involved in.
Mm-hmm. So what else is behind that? There's a passion I know that you have for working with teens and why that is so important to you.
Yeah, I feel like the teens are probably one of the most misunderstood generations, in that they are on edge. They're very emotional. They can be very outspoken, or the other extreme, very shut down. And I feel it's partly because of that. They're not kids anymore. And yet they're moving into the adult world, and in some ways that's both scary and for a lot of them unfulfilling, because if they have role models that aren't happy, or they, and I don't mean that in parents, I mean just in general, they can see adults as sort of stoic and serious and driven maybe in a direction that their heart doesn't really want to go in, but they don't know how to make peace with that they can actually be true to themselves and live in the world and be responsible adults as well. And so that's where a lot of the passion comes from. And I think I'm just one that likes to work in an area where there's a lot of edge and opportunity for growth. And mm-hmm. teens definitely are that area for that.
Well, you've been working with them for a while now. What do you think are some of the challenges that face the teens today?
Well, I think the biggest one right now is a lot of the social media and having to craft an image. It's huge now, where teens are in this electronic age and they're very geared towards that, and everything is about that. And it's much harder to navigate through who are you really when everyone's putting up these selfies and these pictures of this great life, or they're just trying to position themselves as something that they think other people want to see. And so I would say that's probably the biggest challenge right now with kids.
Mm-hmm. And like,
who are they really?
There's so that peer pressure to be like everybody else, and they're not. we're not instilling them in the idea of it's okay to be who they are and be authentic.
Yes. I mean, it's like we had peer pressure growing up. I'm 49, but this is, it's taken it to a whole nother level with social media. And it's very challenging, I think, for them.
So is that the difference that you see today mostly, that the social media? Because, yes, we didn't have that. But and I know there was that peer pressure of, I'm sure you did too. I felt it. And having to be, what group did you belong into? Did you dress like everybody else? Were you accepted? All those things are still here. And yet it's such a grander scale, as you said, like when you bring in the Internet.
Yeah. I think also this generation is different than we were in that there is I believe, wholeheartedly in evolution. And I think this is a generation that has tremendous creativity and insight and energy moving through them. And it's harder for them to manage emotions and social skills. There's a lot of social anxiety. To a higher degree, I think, because of their sensitivity. And so I see that there are a lot of kids that are struggling with making real friendships. And we don't even seem to have a model for it anymore. What does it look like to be a true friend? And how do you make friendships sustainable? And how do you communicate? Adults don't even model this in a lot of ways, from what I see. The technology age has really done a lot to our human connection.
Mm-hmm. I know there's that joke of teens talking to each other and they're side by side but texting.
Yeah.
And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But there is kind of that joke.
See it all the time. And in the seminar, one of the things that I think astounds adults that are involved is for three full 12-hour days, we get them to put away their phones. And to unplug and really plug into who they are inside and then connect with each other. And, of course, that's how the bond happens, and that's why they want to come back, because they need that, they want that, but they don't know how to ask for it. And in a lot of ways, it's not safe to ask for it. So that's one of the things we really, it's very important in the work, is to put the phones away and let's be here now.
So what are they looking for if they come to your group? What is your goal to, the experience that you're going to give them?
I think connection is probably the biggest thing, but it's a connection inside and helping them get back to the basics. Part of my path, I taught kindergarten for 9 years, and I realized that was all perfectly designed for my work with teens, because when we were five, all of us had this natural, authentic, organic connection to ourselves and to the world around us. And so a lot of it is bringing them back to the essence of who they are and the purity of that and the beauty of that. And one of the ways we do that is, this is in the three-day, is we look at what are the blocks and what are the masks and what are the ways we're hiding. And in the thing with what I've found in working with teens is, because they don't really trust other generations, they're so bonded at their own generation. This is true of them probably more than any other age stage. They're looking to separate from adults and parents, and they have their own teen tribe. So what I found in the work is I let them counsel each other, and they have tremendous wisdom. And so in creating the safety and the structure of the program and the questions, which will be the same thing in the WOW event, this one more focusing on teen girls and self-loving, is they come to their own answers. And those are much more trustworthy for any of us, really, because we know we're sourcing it from inside, and then you learn that you actually have that wisdom. And most of them will end up saying, like, wow, I can give advice to my friends, but I never knew I could give it to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an important lesson to learn. Like, yeah, when you're giving it to somebody else, you realize how much you do know.
Yes.
Well, so I'm just curious of the teens, the coping skills, healthy and unhealthy ones, what are you seeing?
Well, I think the biggest one is that going outside of ourselves. And so they'll scan, Instagram and Snapchat, and they'll just and we as adults do this too. I even struggle with it sometimes, of looking at what everyone else is doing and then trying to fit ourselves in that box, because they also have this other thing that's very human but amplified in the teen years, of desperately wanting to fit in. You know, that's a survival mechanism. And if you get outed in a teen circle, it's incredibly painful. As we all know, as adults, it can still hurt, but we have better coping mechanisms. And one of the unhealthy things I see is them comparing and them looking at how they're supposed to be. And I would say a more healthy behavior would be developing their own relationship with themselves, where they put themselves first. And they know who they are, and they love themselves no matter what.
Yeah, so important. Well, this is Chris Stainis of Voices of Women. We'll take a short break. We'll come back and talk more with Terry Jo Wheeler.
Broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune into the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community, Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. So we're talking about working with teens with Terry Jo Wheeler. She's going to lead a workshop along with her partner, Kate Forbes. Is that correct?
Yep,
Kate Forbes. It's going to be Saturday, February 13th, all day up at North Seattle College. And it's going to be a great day for the teens. And so one of the things I think that we can talk about, Terry Jo, is what you see is missing in our culture or even our school system that's needed for us to support teens.
Yes, great question. So the thing I'm aware of is our culture tends to focus on, which is understandable, what we're able to see. And so we focus a lot on developing ourselves physically So we may go to the gym and, you know, try to eat healthy and get that perfect body, especially with teen girls. It seems to be an obsession. But also, and how we dress and the makeup we wear and all of that. So that's seen on a physical level. And then on a mental level, we definitely don't want to look like we don't know what's going on. So we will try to improve our abilities to articulate things, our knowledge of things. So, you know, and the school system focuses a lot on the mental. The areas that are lacking are emotional awareness and social awareness, how to connect with others, like directly teaching that and modeling it as well, and also the spiritual level, like who are we and why are we here, the deeper questions of life. And so those are my two, those three are the, I'd say, the main focuses of my work, because I also find them the most enriching and fulfilling, similar to what Women of Wisdom does. It's like, where is that? Who are we really beyond what we can see?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like taking the mask off. You know, we all can hide behind our masks. And that fear of being seen for who we are and being, you know, the fear of not being accepted. And it's so prime and at that age, as you said, you know, that worry and comparing. And actually, when we do that as teens, we continue it into adulthood of comparing ourselves, especially women.
Yes, and this is often what's modeled to the girls or the, you know, teens in general, is, and they can see it, but they don't know how to actually work through it. I feel like we're all a village helping each other, and I believe it takes a village to raise a conscious child, and I think, you know, the conscious child also raises the consciousness of the village. Like, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, and the other thing too, in being an adult and working with teens, is to understand this, what you hold for them, which is, you know, creating healthy boundaries. And a lot of teens may not understand boundaries at that age. Or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, one of the, you know, questions that often comes up is, you know, what can we do as adults for teens, whether we're a parent or not? And I my biggest thing is that I say is practice ourselves and share with them authentically what we struggle with, so that they know we don't have it all together too. These are our growing edges. And now I don't remember what your question was.
Well, about creating boundaries, you know, I
oh,
think
creating
it's
boundaries.
Thing to learn.
So it's like, if we have healthy boundaries, then they, what I found is teens in particular are resistant to us telling them what to do. And part of that is for good reason, because they're trying to find their own way. Another reason for that, though, is they can see our own incongruencies. So if we're telling them they need to, you know, take care of themselves and we're not taking care of ourselves, it doesn't register with them. And so the best way to influence a teen is to be what you want them to be. And show them you have a self-care practice. You have boundaries. You will say what you want and then hold to that. Consistency is a big deal, I think, for them. And then admitting when we make mistakes, because we're all human and we're all growing and we're going to mess up. And showing them that it's okay to make mistakes, but what can you do differently? You know, and how can you move through this challenge that you're in. And one other thing I want to say here is that one of the, I think, misunderstandings in our culture is that we need to quickly fix any kind of emotional pain. And I feel that there's such rich territory in our pain. It has information for us. So if we can learn better how to process and be with pain and be with grief, for instance, then we don't have to hurry up and rush out of it. We can say, you know, that hurts. This is hurting right now, and it's okay. Just be there. Journal about it. Tell me what you're feeling. I think we could have healthier ways to be with our emotions would be, I think, something that would benefit teens so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. And what about for parents, how they can better connect and support their teens? You know, sometimes it's harder when you're the parent. It might be easier for you because there's a little distance of being a mentor or a leader for the teens. But when you're a parent, you there's so much to deal with.
Yeah, it is. There is a lot to deal with. And I think one of the first things I tell parents is how much children and teens especially want the connection to. I think there's a misunderstanding sometimes because teens do pull away. Part of that's natural in their development. But they want the connection. They don't know how to make it. So parents are going to need to find the ways to do that. And it may be, it's very different than when they're little. But writing little love notes, little post-its, a lot of giving without knowing if you're doing it right, but giving in ways that are more creative. Just because they're 15 doesn't mean they don't want a little post-it note in their lunchbox every day. They may say, Mom, I don't need that. Why do you do that? But tune into, what I would say to parents is tune into your heart. You know your children. And follow your own heart's wisdom in pulling back, but also still being there. If you ask me, I would say to parents, if you're going to be away at work, you know, consider being more available when they're teens, which sounds strange, but just on in being present with them, being in the house. So you're not sitting in their room with them, tucking them in at night, but you're there for them if they need you. And also, I'd say create a little sacred time each day, whether it's over breakfast or at bedtime, but some sort of check-in point that you have with them. And say you need it. Don't say you think the kid needs it. But say you need this time for yourself. You miss them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and there is that, the rejection and the rebelling and all that. And parents also, I'm just thinking, I'm not a parent, but I'm just guessing we have to let go of that, of us failing, of we're not making the connection and what our, you know, to put ourselves in the shoes of the child, the teenager, and yes, what's needed.
Yes, it's so not, in a way, it's really not personal. It's what they're growing through. So the more we can remove the personal part of it and then tune in. And so I think parents have a tremendous amount of guilt. Mm-hmm. It seems to be part of the parenting journey. And you just trust yourself that you've been this child. I mean, I believe the soul chooses their parents. So if you just trust yourself that this child came through you for a reason and they're getting the curriculum that they came to get, but then also coming vulnerable to them and saying, look, I'm feeling disconnected from you. How can I connect with you?
Mm-hmm. That's important. Let them share that. Well, thank you so much, Terry Jo, for being on the show today.
Great talking to you, Chris.
Yeah, and appreciate the work that you're doing and bringing, you know, the work with teens to the Woman of Wisdom Conference. It's so important. So I really encourage mothers, parents to encourage their teenage girls to come. 13 to 19 year olds can come. It's at a great price. We also offer lots of scholarships for the teens, you know, if they can't afford it. It's February 13th, all day Saturday, at the 24th Annual WOW Conference. And a reminder again, you can register for the special early bird offers. Just go to thewowconference.org. Our weekend package is an amazingly low price, so check that out, because then you can go to everything from Friday night to Monday through the banquet. Also, register for 2 3-hour workshops and receive one for three. So you get three for the price of two. That's good through December 31st. You know, our conference is very unique. You don't have to go the whole weekend. You can just choose one event, two or three events that you want to go to. So it makes it very affordable and works with people's schedules. You know, we have a very unique setup. We're a different kind of conference. I encourage people to check it out at the wowconference.org website. And also know, like today is the deadline, although we can receive them over the weekend. Applications to be an intuitive reader or an energy healer at our temple. We call it the temple at the conference, during the weekend. And so check that out on the website too. Just look for the temple application forms on thewowconference.org. We're so excited to be launching the conference now and looking forward to seeing everybody in February. It's going to be great. Okay, well, we're at the end of their time. I remind people to check out my book, which is about Women of Wisdom. It's got lots of stories and poetry, art from women, the divine feminine, and you can look at that, check that out on our foundation website is womanofwisdom.org. Okay, well, everybody have a great weekend and wonderful Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.